Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness, with Professor Harry Lambright, author of a host of IBM Center reports on leaders and leadership. Professor Lambright, I'd like to transition to your terrific and insightful piece you did for the Business of Government magazine, Leading NASA, Three Administrators in Retrospect, and that would be Dan Golden, Sean O'Keefe, and Michael Griffin. Your research explores why agency leaders succeed and fail and why some leaders do well at certain points in their careers and others poorly. Given your research, how critical is it that the skills and operating styles of leaders align with the needs and tasks of their agencies and the political settings of the times in which they find themselves?
I think it's extremely critical if you want success. And the more alignment you get between the man, the organization, and the times, the more likely you have success. If you have partial alignment, you'll have partial success. If you have no alignment, you can be guaranteed a failure.
So, Professor Lambright, I'd like to explore Dan Golden's tenure as NASA administrator from 1992 to 2001. You called him a space enthusiast and an entrepreneur. Would you tell us more about his leadership style and provide an assessment of his tenure?
Yes. The man who had the job before Golden was fired, and Golden was brought in with a mandate to change. The organization was seen as stodgy and flailing around and not getting anywhere. What the times called for, what the political masters called for, both Congress and President, was somebody to shake up the organization. And he had a style that could do that, but it was not just for the sake of shaking up. Golden clearly was a spaceman and had once worked for NASA, so he knew something. He knew a lot about the agency, and he knew what he wanted to do. So he came in, and he assessed the situation, and he quickly decided that this is what he wanted to do, and he had the support of the president. This was initially Bush, and then he stayed with Clinton and had the support of Clinton. He had certain characteristics that were remarkable. He was an engineer and a very good one, but he was really a great salesman. So he had political skills as well as technical skills. And he was extremely good with the environment, that is to say, the White House and the Congress. And his techniques, which he called faster, better, cheaper, fit the times perfectly. He said, I can give you more for less. He could pull off a lot. He understood that microelectronics was a revolution, and you could build some of these machines faster, cheaper, and more inexpensively. And so the robotic side of his job was handled pretty well. He also understood that the space station, which he inherited and which was his biggest single program, was in deep trouble. And he learned very quickly that he had to build a stronger political constituency inside the country for the space station. But he also needed the president for the space station, because Clinton was being advised by his budget bureau to get rid of it. So he understood very well that this was a new world with the end of the Cold War, and the space station, which had been approved by Reagan to deal with the rival, the Soviet Union, now could be redeployed as an instrument of peace in the post-Cold War era with the Russians as a partner. And he deserves tremendous credit, historically significant credit, for saving the space station by bringing the Russians aboard. I think he was unusual in that he had vision, real vision, genuine vision, and not just vision technical, but vision political. I think I have a great deal of admiration for the way he handled this situation. I think inside he was disliked intensely by many people because of his style, which was intense and contentious and confrontational, intimidating, in fact, which actually got him in trouble later on.
So how was his leadership approach suited for the times, and what lessons can we learn from Dan Golden's tenure?
Yeah, it was suited. When he came in, NASA's situation was pretty bad. He really had to make major changes internally. The space station was handled in a way that was ridiculous and that would have doomed it, certainly in time, if he hadn't made radical changes. It had to be reshaped organizationally. To make the kind of reshaping of that one project, and also the Mars project, which was in trouble, he had to make major changes, and he was pretty brutal. He made a distinction between leadership and management, and he says, "I'm a leader, not a manager. And a leader does what he thinks needs to be done." The one lesson is that your style that may fit the times, may also get you in trouble later on. He stayed a long time. He's the record setter, 9.5 years. And that change agent style, which I think served him very well in the early days, eventually came to haunt him a bit, because people were afraid to tell him things, fearing that they might lose their jobs if they did. And the consequence was that he overreached with his faster, better, cheaper style. And eventually that led to 2 Mars failures in a row that he might have been able to head off if he had listened, or if he didn't have a reputation for killing the messengers. I think he had a number of successes. Pathfinder is the best example. Then he had some failures toward the end of his term. If he had left a little earlier, he might have saved himself a lot of trouble. But he stayed a long time, and maybe another lesson is there's a limit to how long you can stay in any of these government jobs.
So, Professor Lambright, the next NASA administrator I'd like to focus on is Sean O'Keefe, who was the head of the agency from 2001 to 2005. And you refer to O'Keefe as a generalist manager and political operator. Would you elaborate and tell us more about his leadership style? And how would you assess his leadership, and was it suited for the times?
Well, he was brought in because he was a financial manager. He was deputy director of the OMB. And NASA's biggest problem was the space station, as it was Golden's biggest problem. But it now was up. And the issue was expenditures and the fact that there was a considerable overrun. So they hired him to be a financial, to bring the space station under control financially. So his skills, his style, et cetera, suited the times very well in his first year. The second year of O'Keefe, he had the Columbia disaster. And so the financial manager had to become a disaster manager. And that was a marvelous transition for him. And he handled that extraordinarily well, I think. And he was a good manager, In his third year, he sold the president a new mission back to the moon and on to Mars, which essentially was a use of the Columbia disaster, when you have the president's attention, to try to get a new mission established. So he became a bit of an entrepreneur. But throughout, he was a quiet entrepreneur. He was not flashy, flamboyant, the way Golden was. He was more approachable than the intense Golden. But when he made a decision, he was very determined and would see it through. So I'd say that O'Keefe fit the times very well, and had a brief but successful venture. He made some mistakes later on that hurt him in terms of building a constituency for that decision. But he got the Bush decision, and I think that to his credit, because that was a major, to me, if you're looking at history, you say, well, Golden's major achievement was getting the space station saved and then up. I'd say O'Keefe's major historical mark was getting NASA through the Columbia disaster and then using the disaster to get a decision that took NASA out of low Earth orbit, at least potentially.
So, Professor Lambright, what leadership lessons can be learned from Sean O'Keefe?
Well, there I think you've got a situation where he comes in And he's not a spaceman, so he doesn't, unlike Golden, he doesn't have a vision of space for space policy, but he learns quickly to deal with situations. And I think this lesson here is that leaders sometimes have to be extremely flexible and adroit in dealing with changing situations, some of which are totally out of their control. And you have to play the hand you're dealt that you might not have wanted. And I think O'Keefe had that when he dealt with the Columbia disaster. I think the central lesson for O'Keefe for that, for leadership there, is you have to be prepared for the unexpected. And sometimes the unexpected is a disaster.
So the next administrator we discuss is Michael Griffin, who led NASA from 2005 to 2009. And you refer to him as a space technocrat and an implementer. What do you mean by this reference, and would you tell us more about his leadership style?
Mike Griffin was an engineer's engineer. He had many degrees. Many people thought he was probably the most qualified technical man that NASA could have had to implement the decision to go back to the moon and on Mars. So he had written a book about space vehicle design. So he came in, and I think the expectation on the part of everybody was that he was going to be the implementer of the decision that O'Keefe had gotten adopted. The style he had was that of an outstanding technical person, and he went fairly deeply into the actual design of the shuttle successor. His style was technocratic. He was not political in the sense that if O'Keefe was a political operator inside the Beltway, I think Griffin really had a lot of trouble with that part of his job. He was much more comfortable with making technical decisions. And he made some very important technical decisions. He was very determined. He's very persistent. And he understood that if he could get the technical system that he was designing far enough along, that it would be hard to stop even after he was gone. He moved with enormous speed and intensity in the design process and in the letting of the contracts. He was more the manager, technical man, than the politician. And his problems had to do with the politics of building a constituency, particularly with the scientific community and even with Bush, to get the money to do what he wanted to do.
So, Professor Lambright, in the end, was Griffin's leadership style suited for his times, and what are the lessons that we can learn from his tenure at NASA?
I think his technical abilities were outstanding. I think there's a lesson to be learned about that we all know, people who study public policy know, is that the politics of administration, but politics doesn't stop after you've gotten your adoption decision, that implementation is a process full of politics too. And so you need a salesman, an advocate, after the decision is made. I think it would have been better if you could have had more of a team and with a more politically capable individual in charge of NASA in the period after O'Keefe left. In an ideal world, O'Keefe would have stayed to implement as well as to get the decision. And then O'Griffin is number two.
So, Professor Lambright, what lessons can be derived by the current NASA administrator, Charles Bolden, from the experiences of his predecessors, and would you elaborate?
I think an administrator has to realize that he has to think about the long term for his organization and the mission that suits the long term, but he has to be very flexible in the short term. The long term, in other words, he has to think strategically, but he has to act tactically. I think this is true of any administrator. You only have so much time. So because you only have so much time, you got to think long term and then ask the question, what can I do in the short term in the period I'm in office to further that longer term mission? And I think that so you have to be a strategist and also a tactician. And the tactics are very much political. You also have to build capacity in your organization to keep going with that mission after you leave. Because you have an external job and you have an internal job. You're a leader. As a leader in government, you're a politician, but you're also a manager.
The Rise and Fall of the Space Shuttle, Leadership Lessons. When this special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors returns.